Please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1260. Philippians chapter 4, we will read only one verse from this passage. We'll turn to two other places following that. The 11th verse of Philippians chapter 4. Shall we stand, please? We'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. And begin with me, please, there on verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Turn now to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8. Page 1277 in your Scofield Bible. Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. Let's read it together, please. Ready? And having food and raiment, let us be there. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Page 1304 in your Scofield Bible. Hebrews 13:5. Let's read that together, please. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's pray. Father, you've given us a wonderful day for getting together as a church family. We're thankful for the Lord's Supper, for the meaning that that has to us. We're thankful for this service now, for the preaching hour. Thank you for the special music, for all that's gone into the making of this service. We're happy to be a part of the First Baptist Church family. We're happy to have a man of God who stands faithfully behind this pulpit to bring us thy word. Help us to be attuned to thee. Help our hearts to be hungry. Help us to be settled in spirit to receive that which you've prepared. In Jesus' name, amen.
I realize it's late, as it always is on Lord's Supper Day. It is now 11:38 according to our clock up there. I promise you that I'll be finished preaching by 10 past 12. That's 32 minutes from now. I believe I'll give you some minutes back even from that. Depends on how well you listen. If you listen real well and say amen real loud, I'll preach for 10 minutes this morning. And I'm sorry I don't have my hearing aids in. I couldn't hear a word you said. But I promise you that I'll be finished before 12:10. And as you know, I always keep that promise. And then we'll be finished. I will close the service, baptizing and all, by 12:30. And I'll give you some minutes back there also, I feel sure. Now, I want to speak this morning on the subject, be content with what you have. I have probably 45, 50 sermons all outlined in my file, all ready to preach, that I believe that you ought to have sometime in the next few months. Occasionally, however, something will come up in my counseling that will cause me to feel that you need something else. Such is the case. As of Friday evening, I had no intentions of preaching this. I'm sorry, as of Wednesday evening, I had no intentions of preaching this sermon. Look at me now. I'm talking to you. Look at me. And because of things I've heard and people whom I've talked, I believe that our church needs to hear what I'm about to say this morning. I've often said, you can be rich if you decide to be rich. A person is rich, hear me carefully, when his wants and his haves are equal. Now you're rich. If you want what you don't, you may have $1 million, but if you want $2 million, you're not rich. You may have $10, but if all you want is $10, you are rich. When your haves and your wants are equal, you're wealthy. In this generation of credit cards, bankruptcy, I don't believe in bankruptcy. I don't believe in a person going out and buying all he wants to buy and then getting it free. I don't believe in that. I just don't believe in it. Now, if you've declared bankruptcy, I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset with you. I just don't believe in it. I think that you should not buy what you cannot pay for. Just because you got a little piece of card there before you. In fact, for you young couples, I advise you to tear that thing up, throw it away, not have it. And now listen to me. A lot of you are enjoying life now, but you're not going to enjoy it a few months from now, a few years from now. You're going to get yourself in such a financial shape and other conditions where you're going to not enjoy life. Let me put it this way, and I'll pray and preach in a minute, but let me put it this way. We're using up life too quickly. Our generation is using up life before we get old enough, and there's nothing left of life. I often say that young people ought to travel to Indianapolis and then maybe to Washington, D.C., and then maybe to the Rocky Mountains. But don't cover the whole world while you're a teenager. Save some. And I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm giving you a philosophy I preached here for 38 years. So don't, if you think I'm preaching this to you, you're wrong. I'm trying to help everybody. Happy people are people who save life and dole it out to themselves periodically. Follow me carefully. Father, bless me as I speak. I want to be a help, and I believe I can. So help me as I speak today. Amen. Set up straight. Listen carefully. No moving around. Everybody still. No walking out while I preach. Listen carefully. A person, by the way, let me don't turn to it. Let me read you a scripture that's so important. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's not a scripture in all the Bible more misunderstood than that scripture. The average person says that means delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you what you want. That's not true at all. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll help you desire what you ought to desire. He'll give you your desires, not the fulfillment of those desires. He'll give you your desires. In other words, he'll help you want it. He'll give you what you ought to want. Then, but we forget verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When the Lord gives you what to want, then he gives you what you want. Well, that's a good statement. When he gives you what to want, he gives you what you want. Now listen carefully as I speak to you for just a while. A person whom I thought was my friend turns on me. First thing I want to say about that is I'm still his friend. I don't quit being your friend because you quit being my friend. By the way, nobody ever quits being a friend. A friend is for life. A friend is like marriage. When I decide to be your friend, you're stuck with me whether you like it or not. I'm your friend. But a person whom I thought was my friend turns on me, and of course that proves he was not my friend. You can't lose a friend. You can lose somebody that's a fair-weather friend, but you can't lose a real friend. When a person decides to be your friend, the Bible says he sticketh closer than a brother. And so I say when a person I thought was my friend turns on me, first, I am still his friend. 3, now listen carefully. Don't miss this. I withdraw my appetite for his friendship. You'll never hear a statement that you need more than that. When a person who I thought was my friend turns on me, I am still his friend, but I withdraw my appetite for his friendship. Which means I satisfy myself in being his friend and not in his being my friend. Why? Because I can choose to be his friend. Let's take Brother Boardway here. I'm his friend. 2 and 2 is 4, sunrise east, sets in the west, and Bears not going to win any more games this year. And I'm his friend. It's all set. Now, I trust his friendship as much as I trust anybody's friendship, but if he ever decides not to be my friend, which is impossible, of course, but if he ever decides to withdraw his affection for me, then I still am his friend. But I will withdraw my appetite. I will not need him to love me anymore because I will withdraw my appetite. I want my appetite and my ability to fulfill to equal each other. Did you hear what I said? I want my appetite and my ability to have my appetite fulfill to equal each other. So why? I have no unsatisfied appetite then. By the way, that's what happiness is all about. Physical, temporal happiness is when you have no unsatisfied appetite. When your haves equal your wants, that may be that you can get more haves to equal your wants. It may be you may cut down your haves to make your haves to equal your wants. But I will, I get this statement, I will to withdraw my appetite from his friendship. You say, preacher, does that mean that you can decide not to want his friendship? You hit it right on the head. I can. God never commands you to do anything without your being able to will or choose to do it. Consequently, I'll repeat this, these statements again. One, a person I thought was my friend turns on me. Two, I am still his friend, like marriage. Three, I withdraw my appetite for him to be my friend, and then I can choose to be his friend. I cannot make him my friend. If he doesn't love me, I cannot make him love me. I have no ability to force him to love me, but he has no ability to keep me from loving him. Let me go another angle. Miss Howes and I was just barely a teenager, not quite 20, when I was pastoring my first church. The war was on. World War II was on. We thought we might never get to be with each other. And so many soldiers married early in those days because they thought that they may be killed on the battlefield and they would never get to be with the one they loved. We married very young. Our first little house, well, we didn't own it. We didn't have a house for years. We had apartment after apartment and room after room. But finally, we're able to have a house. It cost $5,000. We used to drive through South Marshall and see all those beautiful homes in South Marshall, Texas, but I never wanted any of them. I say I never wanted any of them. I would say to myself, and I'm giving you so much good stuff this morning, it'll change, literally transform your life. I would say to myself, I may want one of those houses someday, or a house like that someday, but I refuse to want one until I can have one. College wives, listen to that. Young married ladies, listen to that. It might be wise if you realize that you may be happier going to the laundromat rather than one of these days having to declare bankruptcy and going broke. It might be wise for you not to have everything the first year of marriage that your mama took 30 years to get. And by the way, that's why your mama's happier, because she had something to get regularly that you got all at one time. And you've used up life. You've used up the joys of life. You've used up the things of life. And so I'm saying that I would say I may want that one of those nice houses someday, but I refuse to want one until I can have one. Now, what's the key? I willed, listen carefully, I willed or chose not to have the appetite for a nice house. Why? Because I will not want something I cannot have. That's why I'm rich. Always have. Oh, yeah. You say, Pastor, you drive a nice car. Ms. Howes drives a nice car. I'll talk about that later. But yeah, sure, you can want what you have. Well, let me tell you something. There's not a young couple in this room had as little as we had when we first got married. And I'm telling you what, a step at a time. We've got what we... Oh, you have a nice house. You ought to see the first house we had. You ought to see the first apartment we had. We shared the apartment with five big rats. And I'm trying to say, you will never be happy in this credit card, I want it now, catalog. Good night. We get more catalogs at our house. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. You'll find something you want, and your wants will be bigger than your haves or your ability to have, and you'll be miserable. Want what you have, and decide to want what you have. As a young person, I never wanted to travel abroad. Never did. You know why I never did? Because I couldn't afford it. So I never wanted to travel abroad. And I'm not being unkind to anybody. I'm saying, young people, save some life for the rest of life. Parents, we are absolutely doing our kids a great disservice by giving them everything while they're kids. I thank God today that I have received... Okay, let me go back to traveling. I didn't want to travel abroad. You know why? I couldn't afford to travel abroad. But then one day, I accumulated enough frequent flyer miles on airlines till I could travel abroad. And then all of a sudden, I had desired to travel abroad. Mrs. Howes and I had a tremendous time this year. We took a cruise. We flew to London free of charge, first class. That means your first class section. They call your name, memorize your name, and give you two bags of peanuts. We were first class all the way. And so we flew first class to London. I'm talking on 777. You can't even reach the seat in front of you. The seat's totally reclined. I mean, you can just do this on the seat. You know, if I'd known it was that comfortable, I'd never been standing up running around here preaching all these years. But the seats, and didn't cost a dime. And then we got on a ship, and we went to Oslo, Norway. We went to Aarhus, Denmark. We went to Berlin, Germany. Well, we went to Stockholm, Sweden. We went to Helsinki, Finland. We went to Gary, Indiana. I'm sorry. We went to Moscow, St. Petersburg, Russia, and Moscow, Russia, and back to Copenhagen, Denmark. And you said to the house, what do you say? I thank God it didn't go when I was 35. I thank God I saved it. I saved some of life. We were like a couple of kids. We had more fun than a June bug on the last day of May. I mean, we were like a couple of kids. Why? I thank God we saved some of life. And so I never wanted to go abroad till I could afford to go abroad. My first little church, I was there to stay. Never wanted a big church. You young preachers, quit wanting big churches. Unless you build your own. But I was a pastor of a little handful of people. I was there for life. I never dreamed someday of pastoring a church with this many people. Never dreamed that. Because I could not make myself do it. It was in the hands of somebody else, and I refuse to let you determine my happiness. I will not want what I cannot will to have. Now listen carefully to me. Five statements that are so vital. Number one is, look at what you have. Look at what you have. Number two, want no more than you have. Number three, then look at what you can have or what you can have someday. Look, sometime, sit down if you would please, and figure out, when you buy something on credit, figure out how much you really pay for it. Figure out what you pay for that. Now, you could buy two of them if you'd wait till you save your money to buy it. I thank God I grew up in a day where people... You couldn't buy on credit back in those days. Credit card, never had heard of them. Hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord for the free credit card day. And credit card, listen, have you noticed they're changing the bankruptcy laws? A person can absolutely go down and just take that credit card or buy anything he wants to buy and get anything on credit, and then he gets so far in debt, he cannot pay his debts, he goes down to some crooked lawyer, and the lawyer helps him file bankruptcy. Now, if you're there, I'm not preaching to you. I'm not preaching to you folks this morning who've already made the mistake. I never do that. I'm preaching to you folks that just got married, and you folks about to go so far in debt. You're not going to enjoy each other. You're not going to have love for each other before you know it. Feel love for each other, and you're gonna blind your future and destroy your future. In God's name, have what you can have. Want what you can have, and quit wanting what is not within your grasp. Number one, look at what you have. Number two, want no more than you have. Number three, look at what you maybe can have. Number five, decide to want it only when you can have it. Oh, I wish I could make you listen to me. Decide to want it only when you can have it. Number five, don't want it now, want it later. Now, let me give you a perfect illustration. Years ago, I decided to buy Mrs. Hiles a car. Now, she probably doesn't even remember this. I don't either, but it's a good illustration. But years ago, I decided to buy Mrs. Hiles a car. And we only had one car for the first many years of marriage. In fact, the first 3 years, we didn't have a car at all. We rode buses and streetcars and walked. We didn't have a car. And we would not buy a car until we could afford a car. So we had one car. About 35 years ago, I decided that we'd be a two-car family. I took Miss Hiles down to buy a car. Now, she doesn't know a thing about cars. In fact, we just traded her other car in, and we're kidding. She hadn't even read the instruction book yet on the last car she had. And, we went down to buy a car, and Miss Hiles said, "Jack, I like that one." Yeah, I know, she always picks out that kind. It was a very expensive car. I mean, it was one of those very, very expensive cars. And I said to her, "Beverly, I'm sorry, we can't afford that one." Well, she didn't complain about it after 3 or 4 months. But I had to refuse her. Now, she didn't look at the price tag. She never looks at the price tag. She buys and then looks at the price tag later. You know how your wife is. And but she just simply said, that was the prettiest car, and that's the car she wanted. Now, listen carefully. 35 years ago, I went home and sat down, well, with my office, really, and sat down. And I said, "One of these days, she's going to have that car." I sat in my office with my pen and paper and drew up a plan to where one day I could buy her that car for the same price, monthly payment, I bought the one then. I bought her that car. It's 35 years old, but it looks pretty good. That was really funny, wasn't it? But I decided that one day she was going to be able to pick out any car she wanted. Now, I sat down and I decided that one of these days I could make the same payment for the car she wanted for the car I had to buy her. And I decided to do that on our 50th anniversary. On our 50th anniversary, I said, "I'm going to be able to take my wife down there and pick any car she wants, and the payments will be the same as this little car I bought her years ago." On our 40th wedding anniversary, I got to thinking, everybody doesn't live their 50th anniversary. And then she was sort of sick, and I thought she was going to die. And so I decided that I would, I'd gotten to where I could afford to buy her the car that she could pick up any car she wants. And it would cost me the same thing per month as it did all these years. And I decided, really, because we are getting older, I told her one day we were coming back from Chicago, and I said, I was going to do this on our 50th anniversary, but I've changed my mind. I can now do it on our 40th anniversary. We looked at all kinds of cars, and she picked out the one car that she wanted. Now, wait a minute. It might be wise for you to wait till your 50th anniversary. It might be wise for you to so plan your finances to where you may get the car of your dreams when you've been married 50 years, or you may get the house of your dreams and you've been married 35, 40 years, or you can have all the things you want now. I'm simply saying, want what you have and decide not to want anything else until you can afford what you want. Keep your wants and your haves equal with each other. He said, "Well, how can I want what I have?" Psalm 37:4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you your wants." That's what it says. He shall give thee. Doesn't say he shall fulfill the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires.
He will give you your wants. Thank God today I delight myself in Him, and I delight myself in that book. I don't have to go to the State Fair to be happy. I don't have to go to the Rose Bowl to be happy. I don't have to go to the Disney World to be happy. I've never been to Disney World. I've never been to Disneyland. I've never been to Six Flags over something. I went one time way up there in Chicago with our young people, and I rode that thing goes up and down like that one time, and I said, never again, never again. I'm not going to pay to be scared to death. Not going to do it.
I decided that God, I would delight myself in the Lord. Some of you people sitting out there this morning, you look at me and say, boy, if I was that way, I'd be miserable. No, you wouldn't. You'd be happier than you are now. In fact, you wouldn't be sitting out there criticizing right now. Now, you listen to me. You follow me around, and you won't go to Knott's Berry Farm. You follow me around and you won't go to Disney World and you won't go to Hollywood and you won't go to football. I'm not against football games. Only team I pull for is the team that's playing Notre Dame next week. But I guarantee you, there's not one person in this room today. You say, Brother Hounds, yeah, you ought to be happy. You got a bunch of, yeah, I know, but I was as happy when I drove an old 41 Dodge. Had to push it off as I am now. I was as happy when we lived in one little room, 6x12, and shared a restroom with two restrooms with eight other couples and shared a kitchen with eight other couples. I'm trying to tell you, I've always been happy. I've always been rich because I've never wanted what I couldn't have. I want what I have. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give you your wants. But we forget that next verse. Commit thy way also unto Him, and goes on to say, and He shall bring it to pass. Verse 4 says He'll give you your wants, and verse 5 says He'll give you what you want then. You delight yourself in Him, He gives you your wants, and then commit your way to Him. He fulfills your wants because He gave them to you. And by the way, He knows what you need more than you do. Mr. Richard, why do you preach like this? Because I have counseled with couples for 38 years and 2 months in this church. I have watched young couples get married and they're happy as they can be. And all of a sudden she wants what Mama has. And she gets what Mama has. But Mama spent 30 years paying for what she has. Now, Mama waited and got what she wanted after she got the money. You get it all, and you got to figure out a way to pay for it, so you got to pay the interest on it. And so you come back, and I've seen divorce after divorce after divorce, and broken marriage after broken marriage after broken marriage that never would have happened. Did you know if you have each other, that's really all you need? Ms. Howes and I have a date every Friday night, Friday afternoon, Friday night. And last Friday, and the kids, the teenage girls asked me every Saturday morning, where'd you go on your date last night? Where'd you go on your date last night? Saturday morning they said, where'd you go on your date last night? I said, Lynn's Crafters. Three stinking hours I sat there waiting for her to have her eyes checked. And then to get some new glasses and frames. Well, 2 hours and 51 minutes. We got in the car, and she said, I'm sorry, I ruined our day. I said, no, you didn't. It isn't really at all. I said, you see, where we go is not the important thing. It's the fact that we're together while we go. And I just as soon sit in Lynn's Crafters, except for what it cost. I just as soon sit in Lynn's Crafters as to go to a ball game. Because we were sitting together in that waiting room. And for a while, nobody was there but us. Now, folks, I'm preaching this morning because I've seen this week more people miserable. I'm not talking about money only. I'm talking about house. I'm talking about car. I'm talking about clothes. People say, Miss Howes wears the nicest clothes. Yes, she does, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to... Look, she ought to wear Cadillac clothes. She's got a Cadillac husband. But now, wait a minute. for the first year as we got married, she wore dresses made from feed sacks. By the way, didn't have to alter the sacks either. I'm in trouble. No, I mean, she wore dresses made from feed sacks. I want to thank God at 71 years of age, I have not used up life yet. I want to thank God there's still some things I don't want that I will not want until I can get them. But I want to tell you something. There's something you can want that you can have. And that something is eternal life. If you want to go to heaven, you can go to heaven. But you'll have to decide to go. Our Lord has made available everything that God gives us. He gives us on the stipulation we take it. Because He makes it available. For example, God places here on the table, spreads the table, and God says, I'll give you what you want, but you're going to pick it up. And once I give you what to want, I'll give you what you want, but you have to pick it up. Now, God places on the table a home in heaven, forgiveness of sin, being His child, eternal life. It's on the table. Now, you've got to pick it up. You've got to realize that you're a sinner, and like all of us are, and that sinners are lost, and that Jesus Christ came as a virgin-born Son of God, lived a perfect life, never sinned, so He never owed a debt. He went to Calvary and paid your price and paid your debt for you. And now He says, if you will trust Me as your Savior, there it is on the table. He says, come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. Oh, everyone that's thirsty, come and drink. The water's here, but you've got to pick up the glass. And the food is here, but you've got to pick up the fork. And salvation is here, but you've got to decide, I am going to receive Christ as my Savior. Now this morning, if you're here and you've never received Christ, you can do it today. You can have it. You walk out those doors with your sins forgiven, your name written down in heaven, a child of God, and if you died, you'd be in heaven before the last breath. So walk down these aisles and trust Him. Now, two words and I'm through. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget what I spent 30 minutes talking to you about this morning. Don't forget it. There's nothing wrong for you to want something if you can see the wherewithal to get that something. I will not want the friendship of folks that will not give it to me. I'll be their friend, but I will not want the friendship of somebody that withdraws from me, because I want to be happy. And happiness and riches come when a person's haves and wants equal to each other. Secondly, don't forget, anybody can have salvation. You can say, well, I want to go to heaven and die. Bless God, you can, because you can. Your haves can equal your wants. Walk down this aisle this morning. We'll stand and sing in a few minutes. Let there be somebody at the end of every aisle. They can show you how to go to heaven. If you don't want to join this church, forget it. If you don't want to be a Baptist, don't worry about that. We're not trying to get you to be a Baptist. We're trying to get you to go to heaven when you die. Walk down the aisle. There's a man there that can take this book and show you how you can go to heaven when you die. When the choir sings, I hope you'll come. Shall we stand, please? I'll ask that no one leave. The choir will sing. Leave your seat. Walk toward the aisle, down the aisle. Eternal life, it's on the table. The table is spread. Whosoever will may come. Come while the choir sings.